when I'm left alone. I've always been an eagle, been a while since I have known. My father's sharp as ever, sold my eagle eye. Something's gonna go to me when the eagle flies. Lately I've heard rumors that the eagle may be lame. Just because I've been idle don't mean that I'm tame. You've jeopardized my freedom, my natural place to roost. I can fly when I have to. Turn the eagle loose. So lay on your doubts aside when you go to bed tonight. My feathers are all ruffled now. I'm ready for a fight. Just because I took a while to fly, I don't mean I don't care. When you feel the shadow crossing, eagles in the air. So lay on your doubts aside when you go to bed tonight. My feathers are all ruffled now. I'm ready for a fight. Just because I took a while to fly, I don't mean I don't care. When you feel the shadow crossing, the eagle's in the air. When you feel the shadow crossing, the eagle's in the air.
From the Global News Network of Breitbart.com.
Hillary Clinton accuses Donald Trump, as she did again this week twice, of giving aid and comfort to ISIS or other terrorists because of his, since revoked, in my opinion, foolishly, ban, temporary ban on Muslims, unvetted Muslims coming into the United States. And when I say he revoked it foolishly, I think he should have stuck to it. I'd even go further. 23% of this country is now foreign-born, the highest in the history of the country. A generation ago, it was 5%. We have quintupled in one generation the percent of this country that wasn't born here. I'm all for immigration. We're all sons of immigrants. We hear that repeatedly. We're a nation of immigrants. We hear that repeatedly. I say a five-year ban on all immigration, except for the most, you know, dire refugee circumstance. We just had this gigantic monumental meal where Mr. Creosote at the Monty Python table, about to puke his guts out all over the fancy five-star French restaurant. We need a break. Anyway, when she blames Trump for ISIS, what she's actually doing is proposing, demanding that his freedom of expression be banned. Forget about the whole notion that you can somehow drive your average, everyday, moderate Muslim to become a suicide bomber because a political candidate for one office or another says something that hasn't been vetted by the political class to pass through its acceptable speech meter machine. That itself is a concession of a horrific truth about not just the state of Islam today, but how we view Islam today. I mean, how self-important do these people think they are? Hillary Clinton thinks that somebody else's words that she regards as insensitive or patronizing are more powerful than the faith of Islam to a Muslim? we're in dire, dire straits. And then we got the whole Charlotte situation, which, again, is just a replay of what we saw in Ferguson, Missouri, which itself is a replay of what we saw in Baltimore. By the way, five people, I believe, shot in a rampage shooting in Baltimore last night. The country is coming apart. Absolutely coming apart. And Hillary Clinton and the left and the elites, you saw it on the Sunday shows this morning if you weren't in church, the whole deplorables, they are collectively, as my former boss Conrad Black put it in the National Review earlier in the week, they're emptying their chamber pots onto us, the masses, below their gilded windows. Liberal pieties like guns can only be used to cause violence, not prevent it. They're not giving up our opponents. They're clinging tighter. They're like the drowning victim grasping to a piece of driftwood that's sinking. They don't let it go. As it sinks, they clutch it tighter. Not to mention, we just don't have the time to wait for them to wake up anymore. We don't have the time to lose. We can't wait for them to wake up. First of all, they're not going to wake up. They need to be pushed aside. They need to be shoved out of the way. They need to be sent packing. And the president speaks to the UN last Monday. Thank goodness, we have clips. I'm not going to play them. It's too nauseating to hear. This failed presidential swan song, the day after, this, of course, is last Monday, the day after this wave of Muslim refugee terror attacks, Obama's answer to Muslim refugee terror attacks, more Muslim refugees. He's pushing and pushed again this borderless world, dripping with contempt, condescension. He's glib all the time, dumping, again, the chamber pot. It's before the French Revolution. And these are the aristocrats dripping with contempt and disdain for us, the American people. Everything is always this false choice, this Hobson's choice. Either do what I say or war will be the result. That's Obama. We know that bringing these people in, they're going to be Islamists in their midst. We know that jihadists will be in their midst. We know that jihadists and Islamists will be among their offspring in the next generation. She knows full well the government can't screen out those who are sympathetic to or actually adhere to radical Islam. She knows, and she doesn't care. Because it isn't Hillary that's going to be threatened. Hillary can live quite comfortably behind her $2 billion foundation walls. You and I can't. These people are far too committed to their leftist orthodoxies, globalism and multiculturalism. They will never, ever let go. You are listening to the Bauer and Rose Show, the number 866-95.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you, how are you, how are you? Terrible Tommy here. I put a couple of teasers in there for you. Yeah. Breitbart News, the founder of Breitbart, who's dead now, he expressed all his will to wipe out racism, wipe it all out so black people could have what they want. So anyhow, they're now parading as the flower of the right wing. And of course, some of the stuff they say is true. But watch it. Watch it. And it's September, what? The 29th. Wow, we're getting close to the end of September. I can tell it outside, too. The temperature's beginning to dip down. I had to put my long pants on yesterday. I don't like that. I like to wear my short pants. Well, here's a little article from a Mexican, Benjamin Garcia. white Americans are the biggest terrorist threat in the United States. Wow. But not enough. It's a non-issue. There is no conspiracy. Your head will explode when you read the following sentence. It's a fact. Establishment media's favorite pastime is to report skewed news about people of color being violent, unsophisticated, or sexually perverse. Muslim people are targeted for the acts of lone wolves executed here and abroad, terrorist acts. Black people are subject of disproportionate amount of reporting on illegal drug abuse and gun violence, and are vilified when they fall victim to hate crimes, usually in the form of police brutality. Hispanic people, as Mr. Trump so kindly suggested, are portrayed as rapists and murderers. Of course, you and I know they never are. The corporate overlords manipulate the media for a number of reasons. They care to push their own agenda that protects their white Protestant male selves from a certain sizable loss of privilege. Yeah, we don't like to lose our privilege. We want more privilege. That explains many white people's attitudes towards safe spaces for ethnic minorities. They are skeptical because they feel excluded from a service that does not specifically cater to themselves. You're right. We want everything to cater to the white race. They feel threatened by viewpoints that directly contradict their own experiences. Poor Mr. Mexican. This explains why they are likely to side with law enforcement in cases of police brutality. Well, they do too much of that. They have no historical experience with police brutality. That's bullshit. Plenty of blue-collar people have had plenty of experience with police brutality. In order to justify police officers executing black men and women and non-binary folk on sight, the idiotic All Lives Matter movement never existed before independent of Black Lives Matter. Therefore, people who are uncomfortable with this sentiment must believe they are superior to black people in some way. Well, I believe in every way. No doubt about that. The presence of a fascist agenda in the coverage of the establishment media is why no small number of white people feel uncomfortable when someone expresses sympathy for Black Lives Matter movement or membership to Hispanic or Mestizo honor societies or when a mosque is built in their neighborhoods. Well, of course we feel uncomfortable. We want to get rid of it. Crimes perpetrated by white people, especially against people of color, do not get reported at nearly the same rate. Well, I see it all over the place. After 9/11, hate crimes against Muslim people have increased steadily, according to a study done by Cal State San Bernardino, and of course they never lie. In 2015, the United States saw a 78% increase of terrorist attacks against Muslims, people living in America. Well, if they weren't living in America, they wouldn't be have any terrorist attacks against them. So why don't you stay home in the Middle East? Oh, I know, U.S. Army's terrorizing you out. You're between a rock and a hard place. Scholars of hate crime attribute this to a backlash against the actions of a few lone wolf and Republican embarrassment. Trump called for a ban on people who practice Islam. The abominable Brock Turner, a Stanford rapist, was released from jail after only serving 3 of his 6 months of jail time for assaulting an unconscious woman. The constituents of the corporate media care to make as much money as they can off the privileged, prejudiced, and altogether stupid people in America whose antique and bigoted feelings are awakened by confirmations and justifications of nationalism and white supremacy. I certainly don't see masses of white people doing that. Do you? They condemn us all the time. In this case, as in so many others, feelings are completely irrational. For this reason, the racist narrative does not appeal to thinking people. And I and my people are the only thinking people. Furthermore, all Trump supporters are insensible sheep in the elite stock and are not in any way intellectually capable of having an original idea or thinking for themselves. But you already knew that. Well, isn't that nice? That greaser really likes us. He really likes us. Wait a minute. That comes from Talon Marx, T-A-L-O-N-M-A-R-K-S, who definitely does not like white people who think like white people. If you think like colored people, you're his friend. Yeah. The lone wolf opponents, they talk a lot. They've got all kinds of theories, but they rarely talk about lone wolves from any real knowledge other than pop science and amateur psychology. Let's look into this gal. She wrote a book, The Mystery of the Lone Wolf Killer, Anders Behring, Breivik, and the Threat of Terror in Plain Sight, unquote. Has received positive reviews, and she is working with Linda Langton of Langton's International Agency to find a publishing home for her new book, Price of Peace. She appeared as a speaker at the prestigious Chilton Club in Boston. Whoa! And will be returning to the U.S. from her home in Norway in October to speak at the Yale and Colony Clubs. Yeah, the ruling class. Then on November 5th, 2016, she is a presenter at the TED Institute Le Rosy in Rolle, Switzerland. Whoa, boy. Right before the latest attacks in New York and New Jersey, interviews about her appearance in WWD Women's Wear Daily online. Women's Wear Daily Online and on Medium.com, since she researched and studied lone wolf killers in depth. Her insights are startlingly accurate. Wow. I've got another. I've got another mouse I just put on here, and I'm having to get used to it. In the WWD article, Tarantini discusses her research and conclusions regarding Breivik and other lone killers, as opposed to State Department massive killers. They're not lone wolves. They're so disconnected from themselves and society and from their own pain that they can't even take the revenge out on the people who actually hurt them. Well, or the people in power who cause the problems. What happens is it has to be societal. They're so narcissistic, they believe that they're so important that the world needs to know. Well, everybody feels that way, don't they? They're not psychopaths in the sense that they're getting satisfaction from killing. The killing is just necessary for their cause. They believe they're saviors. Doesn't every military man feel that way? Doesn't everybody that goes in the Middle East and the Marine Corps and so forth feel that way? They believe they're saviors, or at least they when they go over there, they think so, until they get shot at, and then they take a different attitude. In their Medium.com article, she elaborates on her motivation for tackling such a disturbing and controversial subject. Quote, "Let me be clear, Anders Behring Breivik is a monster." Wow. "He slaughtered 77 people and wounded hundreds more. Gee, he's a piker compared to the U.S. military. And right now he is getting all the attention he ever wanted." Well, you know, let's look at it this way. The people he went after, he ideologically felt were enemies of his or the white race. Most of the guys that volunteer to go over to the Middle East don't know who the hell their enemy is in the military, but they're willing to kill millions of people. No, not 77. Millions, man. We don't mess around because God loves us, and we're an instrument of his wrath. He has an audience, and instead of locking him up and throwing away the key, he still commandeers an audience and media attention. Well, I think that people go to him more than he goes to them. It was that it happened so close to home. Who could have thought a homegrown terrorist, guerrilla fighter, or whatever you want to call him, everything's a terrorist, would be in Norway? As I followed the trial, I researched everything I could find on similar killings worldwide. Of course, I never really studied the mass killing by the U.S. military and other militaries, Israel military and all that kind of stuff. I never studied that stuff because they're acceptable. They have a license to kill massive numbers of people. These guys, these lone wolves, they don't have a hunting license. Her book and her speeches share insights into such lone wolves as Tim McVeigh. Wow. Eric Rudolph. Yeah. And the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. Well, he was trying to save the environment, so it seemed to me like he had a good cause. She separates them from other types of mass murders, such as occurred in Aurora, Colorado, or Sandy Hook, Connecticut. All children are born beautiful and untainted, including the lone wolves. Something happened to them along the way. Yeah, the system. The system happened to them. The culture they live in. It's a violent culture, period. By recognizing the warning signs and giving them help they need before they become killers, we can prevent the next massacre and help them rise to greatness instead of letting them sink into the spiral of destruction. Well, you're going to have to cut off all this violent information you pump into them, and you say it's okay to go over to the Middle East and destroy every building you can, bring the roofs down on the kids and everything, because your government's got a license to do that. Her Nobel Peace Prize book, Price of Peace, also takes a controversial stance on that venerable institution, and Tarantini turns on unblinking eye as the process of Norway's selection winner. As she states in the Medium.com article, it's been a fascinating study of this prize. Well, you see, she makes out by the killing. Yeah, she's making out by the killing. She gets a Nobel Prize. So, isn't she a co-conspirator to the lone wolf? I mean, there are only so many prestigious awards, the Academy Awards, the Nobel Prizes, and the Nobel Peace Prize. I wanted to see what happened, who Alfred Nobel really was. Well, he was the man who invented dynamite that's responsible for killing millions of people in war and peace. and how the evolution of the Peace Prize as a way to promote peace has become a popular contest, with Norway choosing the victor, which is ridiculous. Which is ridiculous. Yeah, Nobel invented dynamite. What other weapon can you imagine other than the atomic bomb? But even the atomic bomb hasn't killed that many people. We're living in a crazy society where the pot calls the pan black. People, I will say one thing I agree with her, that a lot of times they go off half-cocked and do crazy things and kill funny targets. I like to judge it by the rules of the game under the anarchists back at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, when they didn't just lash out and kill anybody they come along to on the street. They zeroed in on the ruling class and the people and the military class and the banking class. They had it pretty well figured out, boys and girls. These are the ones who create worldwide violence, not the anarchists, but the people who control society. But they don't give out Nobel Prizes to anarchists, only to those who serve the ruling class. This woman is just like all the rest. She thinks she knows what's going on, what motivates people to do anything. She doesn't know shit. That was from something called the Digital Journal. And they're experts on everything. So you want to know what's going on? Well, you got to get it from them. Blame all the little people. Always let the ruling class go, because they're ordained by Jesus Christ and God Almighty to do what they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's a statement by one of the ruling class whores, George F. Will. Opinion writer. Well, his opinion's not worth any more than yours is. But he's got to stand, and that's it. He says, looking on the bright side, perhaps this election can teach conservatives, and there are no more conservatives. They went out with high-button shoes, I guess. They call these people, these conservatives, they call them conservatives. They're not conservatives, and that's why they're losing their grip. They need a talent for pessimism, recognizing the signs that whatever remains of American exceptionalism does not immunize this nation from decay, to which all regimes are susceptible. Well, I say that decay starts from the top, not from the bottom. I don't think we were decaying when the working class all had a job. The world's oldest political party is an exhausted volcano. The intellectual staleness of its recycled candidate is unchallenged because a generation of younger Democrat leaders barely exists. Sounds good so far, boys and girls. The sooner the better. The Republican Party's candidate evidently disdains his credulous supporters, who will continue to swallow his mendacities. Well, he's a politician. What the hell do you expect? About 90% of presidential votes will be cast for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, refuting the theory that this is a center-right country, at the risk of taking Trump's words more seriously than he does. On some matters, he is to Clinton's left regarding big government powered by unbridled presidency. No, an unbridled ruling class. Can't blame this all this shit on Obama. He's just a black example of white corruption. His trade policy is liberalism's industrial policy. repackaging for Fox conservatives, uncomfortable with the president's dictating what Americans can import and purchase, at what prices and where U.S. corporations can operate. Trump wouldn't approve Ford manufacturing cars in Mexico. He would create a federal police force to deport 450,000 illegal mestizos a month. Sounds good to me, including a 6.4% of America's workforce in 2 years. Yet the 25 million jobs he promises to create would require more than doubling the current rate of legal immigration to fill them. Well, that's because you don't have, white people have decided not to have kids anymore. Yeah. Let me see here. Where am I at? Yet the 25 million jobs he promised to create would require more than doubling the current rate of legal immigration to fill them. That's the way these people always look at things. And, you know, saying we were all immigrants. Well, we were immigrants because the powers that be in the ruling class took advantage of the horrors of happening in Europe, like the Revolution of 1845. And that's where thousands and thousands of Germans and Irish came into the country. Not out of the goodness of anybody's heart. It was to make them wage slavers. They needed cheaper labor. They'd gotten hundreds of thousands of people killed in the Civil War, so they had to replace them to keep the cheap labor going. And so that's how that stuff happens. It doesn't happen because millions of people in Germany suddenly woke up one morning and say, I think I will have a better life in the United States. No, they wake up because they're being pushed around, shoved around, and murdered in the streets in Europe, and armies marching through the streets, and decide, I got to get the hell out of here. That's what happens in the Middle East right now. Most people don't want to move. Most of them don't want to go to Europe, but they want to get out of these hell holes that the U.S. and Russia and everybody's bombing into little pieces of rock. Well, he says, when Trump says people are not making it on Social Security, he implies that people should be able to make it on Social Security for a third or more of their lives, and that he, like Clinton, is for enriching this entitlement's benefits. He will save the system by eliminating, wait for it, waste, fraud, and abuse. Trump is as parsimonious with specifics regarding health care. Plans you don't even know about will be devised because we're going to come up with plans, health care plans, that will be so good as regarding foreign policy. Nothing's going to change, boys and girls. It's not going to change. I mean, you know, one thing about getting to be an old fart, you've heard it all before, again and again. Charismatic authority, wrote Max Weber in 1915, 7 years before Mussolini's March on Rome. I liked that March on Rome. It did a lot of good. If he hadn't got into World War II, he'd be in the history books as a great man. Charismatic rule thus rests upon the belief in magical powers, revelations, and hero worship. Well, who provides the money for all of that? The ruling class, the media class, the media corporate class. Don't blame it on poor people, you assholes. A demagogue's success requires the receptive demos, and Trump's ascendancy reflects progressivism's success in changing America's social norms and national character by destigmatizing dependency. under his presidency, Trump says the government will have all the answers. I thought that's what the Republicans, the conservatives opposed, all that power in the government. I am your voice. I alone can fix it. You all know that's bullshit. You better know it, or you're going to be the victim all over again. The pronoun has unlimited antecedents. I will give you everything. I will give you what you've been looking for 50 years. I'm the only one. They all say that. Urban without a trace of urbanity. Trump has surrounded himself with starstruck acolytes. Mike Pence marvels at Trump's anatomical, broad-shouldered foreign policy. Yeah, he wants to spend more money on the war machine. How about this new fighter plane? $35 million apiece, and they want to build 35 or 40 of them? For what? To blow the shit out of some other backwoods place? I guess they'll need it to blow the shit out of Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. When Ferdinand VII regained Spain's throne in 1813, he vowed to end the disastrous mania of thinking. Trump is America's Ferdinand. Yeah, there's certain things he says that I like. But it was interesting to see all these right-wing conservative racists jump on his bandwagon immediately without questioning. Why do you want to spend more billions of dollars on the war machine? Why do you want to support anybody that supports occupation of foreign countries? Why all that? They only say that he said a couple of things they liked, or what they think he liked, what he said, because they don't really know what he said, and they don't really know it's the truth. American project was to construct a constitutional regime whose institutional architecture would guarantee the limited government implied by the founders' philosophy. Well, that's all bullshit. It was always the ruling class. And the working class always got it in the ass. Government is instituted to secure pre-existing natural rights. Well, that's bullshit, too. There are no rights. There's might makes right. Period. And they know that. That's how it's all run. No matter who runs for president. Today, however, neither the executive nor the legislative branches take this seriously. The judiciary, they never did take it seriously, you stupid ass. The judiciary has forsworn enforcing it. And neither political party represents it because no substantial constituency supports it. The amusing thing, or sad thing, more sad than amusing, is that the people who had nothing to do with the Civil War in this country, because they didn't have a slave, and they didn't have plantations and slaves, these are the ones who are having to apologize and take in the ass for everything else, because they've got it. The big shots, the ruling class of the Civil War, spread the guilt all over the place, like everybody's guilty. Well, there was nobody screwed more during the Civil War than white poor and white small farmers and things like that. But yet, today, here, white people all the time on radio and TV apologizing for being white, apologizing for the plantation system, which was pure centralized capitalism, so the ladies of England could have nice soft dresses instead of the coarse material that the poor people had to wear. The beginning of the conservative wisdom is recognition that there is an end to everything. Nothing lasts. If Trump wins, the GOP ends as a vehicle for conservatism. Well, maybe it'll be for radicalism. Maybe the Republican Party can be turned into a rebellious party and not just a follower of the ruling class. Or maybe not. If not, piss on it. I never liked them anyhow. Never liked the Democrat Party either. In fact, there's almost nothing political that I do like. If Trump wins, the GOP ends as a vehicle for conservatism, and a political idea without a political party is an orphan in an indifferent world. Well, of course, the whole party system is a pain in the ass, always was a pain in the ass. And even Washington of the ruling class said that we should not allow political parties to tear things apart. They've been nothing but a troublemaker from the beginning. Pessimism need not breed fatalism or passivity. I could define an agenda of regeneration, but only by being clear-eyed about the extent of degeneration. I don't think you'd recognize it if it hit you right in the face, which a charlatan's successful selling of his fabulousness exemplifies. Conservatism's recovery from this parodical capture of the conservative party. Republican is a conservative party? What are they conserving? What the fuck are they conserving? Will require facing unflattering facts about a country that currently is indifferent to its founding. These writers are amazing. They really make me laugh. They know everything about everything, and on one issue they go one way, and one issue they go the other way, but they're always geniuses. I'm a writer. I'm a genius. I'm a philosopher. I'm a politician. But most of all, I'm an asshole. So, Mr. George Will, I hope you go the way of the dinosaur, just like the Republican Party. We need a rebellious, kick-ass, take-names, violent party, period. San Bernardino, California. The Diocese of San Bernardino held its first Life, Dignity, and Justice Conference Wednesday at the Diocesan Pastoral Center, featuring keynote speaker and local college Jew Brian Levin, who discussed data from his recently released hate crime study. With his endearing personality and trademark sense of humor, Levin wasted no time in addressing the white elephant in the room, his Jew faith. A few have written the diocese that I am a horrible choice and asked for my invitation to be withdrawn, said Levin, director of California State San Bernardino Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, at the beginning of his presentation. Quote, this is the first time in my decade's career that someone has criticized my crazy belief. I hope that by the end, though, that they reconsider, not because we agree, but rather because they have developed the sagacity to listen to those acting in good conscience with whom they do not. Levin was invited to discuss his recent release study, quote, Hate Crime in the United States, unquote, a survey of hate crime data compiled from the law enforcement agencies in 20 states. Among the key findings, hate crimes against American Muslims, I would say just Muslims, increased 78% nationwide, and the 122% in California in 2015, the highest since 9/11. Well, that's what happens when you dump people into an area where they don't have a social basis. They don't have the roots, racial roots or so forth. Of course. It's always going to happen. You haven't seen anything yet. Recurring racist attacks on U.S. soil, including the December 2nd terrorist attack in San Bernardino, along with racially and culturally divisive rhetoric on the presidential campaign trail, have fueled the violence, according to Levin's study, as if there was no rhetoric like that on the campaign trail, there would be no love crimes. With 6 weeks to go before the presidential election, the diocesan officials felt it was appropriate to organize a conference to prompt a sense of civic duty within the Catholic community with a theme of faithful citizenship. These people have got to be nuts. Things are going down the tube, and they're trying to talk. Oh, man. In staying faithful to the Catholic Church's teaching on murdering millions of pagans and torturing scientific people of the Middle Ages, and so on and on it goes, and in owning black slaves down in the South before the Civil War, in staying faithful to the Catholic Church's teaching on valuing and respecting human life. That's a joke. Andrews said Levin was an ideal candidate to speak on the subject of hate and extremism and raising awareness on what is occurring in America and across the globe today. Yeah, governments that swear they love Jesus and pray to God all the time are sending air forces and thousands of troops to kill people. You know, Vietnam, Korea, World War II. All of them, yeah. They're all carrying a Christian cross before them with a few Jews behind them. He's someone who is very qualified to speak about the subject and can give a good account of what lay of the land is on the issue and hopefully cause people here at the conference to become more engaged in that issue. Well, why don't they join an anti-war group? That would most hate crimes are a spin-off of the attitude of the military and military training. I know I was trained to hate my opponents in the military and kill them as fast as I could. Yeah, that's what I was taught. Levin had even more somber news for his Wednesday audience. His slideshow included the cover of the latest edition of Die Bild, a propaganda magazine and recruitment tool for the Islamic State of Iraq, and the Levant. The cover photo showed an Islamic extremist breaking a cross off a church steeple with the words "Break the Cross" written in all capital letters along the bottom. Well, if people came in and occupied my country and drug my family out in the street and indiscriminately dropped bombs on them, I would think that's the very least you could do is tear the cross off the top of the church. Levin told his audience, "We're facing the most severe terrorist threat we've seen since 9/11. No, it's guerrilla threat. And that among the groups of terrorists are targeting Catholics, especially in California. In 2015, hate crimes against the Catholics increased 11% nationwide, but increased a staggering 120% in California, according to Levin's study. They said they want to hit the Vatican and hit our beloved Pope Francis. Well, can you figure that out? Why would they do that? Why would they want to do that? Well, they're just nasty people, that's all. While some may find it hard to believe, Levin said the speech by political leaders and even political candidates can either fuel hate crime or diminish it. An inspiring statement by President George W. Bush following 9/11 promoting the American values of respect, dignity, and human worth was met by a 47.5% to 66% decline in hate crime. It didn't stop him from hating. It didn't stop him from hating everybody in Iraq and burning it to the ground, putting nuclear material all over the Middle East. He's a war criminal, and he's talking about stopping hate crimes. George W. Bush is a homicidal maniac and a psychopath, period. And if people don't see him as a major purveyor of hate crime throughout the world, how are you going to expect solving so-called hate crime in your neighborhood? None of these people ever are brought to justice. Yeah. Well, that's about all I can handle this morning. It gets so sickening to read the news and the way they sanitize it for the ruling class. I'm just glad that they're gradually deteriorating and the corruption is eating them alive. And more people are going to go to extreme action. There are going to be a lot more terror, so-called terrorism. But let's call the military and all those people terrorists first. They're the big terrorists. The bankers, the press, the State Department, and the military. Yeah, that's where it all begins. Give me a break. This is so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. I'll be back tomorrow, Freya's Day, 14:05, and let's talk rebellion. Rebellion sounds good to me.